The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
We are going to take a little different tack today. We've been talking about losers, people in the Bible that were losers. I'm going to bring this a lot more personal today because I'm the loser we're going to talk about. Let's look at Psalm chapter 13. Six short verses, but man, are they powerful. David writes, "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, 'We have defeated him.' Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me." Let's pray. God, thanks. Lord, I ask that you would take the next few moments, Father, and open our hearts to hear from you. God, we have all gone through these dark times. We've gone through these dry spells in our souls. And Father, I pray that today you will give each one of us hope. That the dry spells don't last forever. That they don't mean we don't love you or that you don't love us. God, help us. Bless us today. We ask it in your name. Amen. As a teenager, I would go to summer camp or winter camp, and man, I would just get transformed, and God was doing stuff in my life, and I was all high, all happy, and I'd come home from camp, and I was just, every day was like a brand new experience with the Lord, and I was reading my Bible, and I felt God's presence everywhere I went. And then the longer I was home, the worse it got. Till eventually I felt like I was praying and like the ceiling was made out of rubber and my prayers would hit the ceiling and bounce back down and hit me. And I can remember thinking that I am just a horrible Christian. That there's something wrong with me because I would see people at church that seemed to always be in tune with God. You know, the ones that, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm blessed. God bless you. Hallelujah. Everything's fine in my life. Hallelujah." You're like, "Really? Because it's not that way for me. I mean, I'm slugging it out down here. I'm walking through molasses in my Christian life, and you're, ooh, hallelujah." I found out later that some of them were just lying. Well, not lying, but they were lying. They were misrepresenting. Because, you know, everybody wants to look good at church. "How you doing at church?" "Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. Got any trouble?" No. Everything's fine in my life. Yeah. They had a fight with their husband on the way in, and they were threatening to kill each other or something. But no, everything's fine with them. I really figured there must be something wrong with me. There must be something wrong with my spiritual life that I couldn't sustain for months on end that spiritual high that I had by going up to camp. That for some reason that my, whatever, because I didn't walk right or because I wasn't reading my Bible right or I didn't pray right or this or that or the other thing, I didn't do something right, that for some reason God just said, "You know what, God, see, I'm tired of messing with you." I felt like a loser. I really did. I felt like there was something wrong with me. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever gone through spiritual dry times. I'm sure that has never happened to any of you. And so I'm really just kind of preaching to me today and maybe one person watching on video. And you know who you are. Truth be told, I'm thinking there's probably more than one of me in here. We go through times like that. And it's real easy to think that somehow God has forgotten us. That's what David prayed. "Lord, what's the deal?" I came across this week. A young man went to his youth pastor with the same problem. Youth pastor wrote out some scriptures to memorize. At the bottom of the page, he drew a picture of a train, an engine, and a caboose. On the engine, he wrote faith. On the caboose, he wrote feelings. He gave the young man the paper and said this: in the Christian life, your feelings will go up and down and will sometimes run hot or cold. You can't be driven by your feelings. Faith has to be the engine of your Christian life. It's faith that drives you forward. If you wake up and you are letting your Christian life be totally ruled by your feelings, by the way, if you like that picture, I made it. I can send it to you. It's the desktop on my computer at work right now. If you are being ruled by your feelings in your Christian life, and that's what was wrong with me. I was thinking that my feelings were somehow the truer test of what God was doing in my life than what God was actually doing in my life. I've said it before. I wake up in the mornings and I look in the mirror, and I have to look at this face in the mirror. It's frightening in the first thing in the morning. You know, the only good thing about it is, as I've gotten older, my eyes are a little fuzzier, so I don't have to really focus on it too much. But I mean, you wake up and my back hurts, my knees hurt, I got all kinds of things that hurt, and I get up. It takes me about 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes to get up and get out of the bed, you know, and then I walk in the bathroom and I got breath that will peel wallpaper, you know, it's just. And you feel like flames coming out and stuff. And I tell my wife, "Hi, honey." She's, "Go away. Don't." No. The dog growled at me. Like, get away. And I don't feel human. I don't feel like a human. I feel like, I don't know what I feel like, but I didn't feel like a human. But it doesn't change the fact that for the most part, I am a human. For the most part. My feelings don't rule my body. I can't. They did a study on officers who had been shot. They had the same wounds. And they found that the difference between the cops who died and the cops who didn't die from those wounds was that the cops who didn't die had, over the years, made their body obey their brain, not their brain obey their body. So when they were too tired to work out, they would still work out, and their brain would tell their body, "You just need to do this." Those are the cops that lived. The cops that died were the cops who would give in to feelings or tiredness or this or that, and it became a pattern in their life, and they just never, when it came time to something really bad, they didn't have the wherewithal to go past it. So are you letting your feelings ruin your life? See, regardless of how you feel, it doesn't change the fact that God is always there. And you can live in his presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. I put it this way: practicing the presence of God is not a feeling you depend on, it's a faith you live by. If you wake up tomorrow and you don't feel like God is there, God is still there. If you wake up tomorrow and you feel like God doesn't love you, God still loves you. If you wake up tomorrow and you don't feel saved, God says, "You know what? By my grace, unless you've done something totally crazy and just walked away, you're saved." We give in to our feelings because we forget that God is greater than our feelings. This is a lesson that King David learned. Look at what he said in Psalm 13, 1 and 2 again. "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever?" Now, this is not a guy that's having a good day. You don't write things like that when everything's hunky-dory in your life. "How you doing?" "I'm blessed." "Oh, Lord, why have you forgotten me?" Those two things don't go together. This is a guy who's feeling despair in his soul. "How long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand?" You ever felt this way? God, you know, we'd say it differently. You know, "God, how come you know, I'm living a Christian life and this guy who's just a rube and not following you, he's getting all this stuff and I'm over here, you know, living day to day and I don't have hardly anything and this guy's got everything and he doesn't follow you. God, how come?" And you may couch it in more spiritual terms. "Oh, Lord, yea, that thou wouldst help my neighbor go through tough times, even as I am, so that he too would learn the patience of trusting you, Lord. Hallelujah. All that is one little kid saying, he got three Cheetos on his plate and I only got two. Your kids ever do that stuff? My kids would count Cheetos. He got 17 and I got 13. That's not right. No, but yours are bigger. No, I don't care. There's not as many. So I would just take four off the kid who had too many and eat them. There. Now, nobody's happy except me. I got Cheetos. But four is really not enough Cheetos. So what do you do? What do you do when you feel far from God? What do you do when you get to this place, that depth of feeling, God has gone somewhere and left me on my own? He hasn't. But how do you make your way back? And that's what today's all about. How do you make your way back when you feel like God has abandoned you? And again, he hasn't, but we feel that way. Feelings. I can't tell me one time, I don't feel saved. What does that feel? What do you mean, what do you feel? What does that feel like? You get tingly on your feet? Do you get, you know, your hair on your neck stand up? What does that mean? And he couldn't give me an answer. So let's talk about it. First thing you need to do, number one, assume and do. After talking about his desperate situation, he says in verse 5, but I trust in your unfailing love. He's saying, you know what? I feel all of this bad stuff, but I am not going to let my despair get the best of me. I am not going to give in to these bad feelings. I know that you're taking care of me. You're watching over me. And even if I don't feel it, God, I know you're there. I trust in your unfailing love. When I first got promoted to run the crime scene unit at the sheriff's office, the sheriff who hired me to do that was retiring. And a new sheriff was coming in, and we didn't know how he felt about this. And because of the situation and stuff, I may not have had bumping rights and all kinds of things. I mean, I was looking at, after he got elected, I was looking at maybe not having a job anymore. And every day it seemed like there was a new rumor. If you've ever worked at the sheriff's office, you know rumors fly down the hallways very, very fast. They're almost never right, but man, do they fly through the hallways. And every day would be, you know, Sheriff Loretta, or the new incoming sheriff thinks you're going to do a good job, or the new incoming sheriff thinks, man, you're going to really suck at this, and it has to be a cop, not you, blah, blah, blah. And I got staff that I'm trying to keep, you know, their heads on straight. And finally what we decided was it didn't matter whether he was going to keep me or not. I had to just work every day like he was going to. See, I was hired to do a job, and as long as they were paying me a paycheck, I owed it to the people of Imperial County and to Sheriff Carter and the incoming Sheriff Loera. I owed it to them to do the best job I could every day and not worry about things that were outside my control. I had to assume God was in control, and he was. I ended up being there 10 years, and I left on my terms, which is a good way to go. See, you need to do things no matter how you feel. Come to church every week, regardless of how you feel. I didn't feel like coming today. Really? I had a tummy ache. You watch on video. Oh, well. Continue to serve regardless of how you feel. 10 years of Remnant. You think there have been times Jeremiah and I didn't think, I'm not sure I want to keep doing this. I'm sure Jeremiah never did because he's a good guy. Me, on the other hand, there were times like, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. Not very often, but occasionally. Continue to serve regardless of how you feel. Include God in your work life regardless of how you feel. I've said it before. I will say it till I'm no longer pastoring. If you're a Christian, you should be the best employee your company has. Because that, you serve the great God, the God that's the creator of the universe, and you owe it to him to show people that you're a Christian by your work ethic as well as your words. Oh, but you don't understand. Yeah, I do. I don't care, but I understand. Every day you hit that workplace, you go through those doors, you be the best employee you can be. Why? Because you serve a God who's worthy of that kind of devotion. Even if you don't feel God's presence, assume he's there. Assume his presence and do what you know should do. Read your Bible. Pray. Worship. We'll talk about worship in a minute. Psalm 22, 3 and 4, another one of the Psalms by David. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. You're holy. Our ancestors trusted in you. You rescued them. Look, God, you did all of this for all of these other people. You're going to do it for me. We sometimes so mess up the idea of faith. We think that faith is stepping off the edge of a cliff and hoping God would catch us. When the Old Testament talks about faith, the Old Testament talks about faith by looking back and saying, okay, here's what God did for our father Abraham. Here's what God did for all the Israelites. Here's what God did all these days before. And if God did it then, he's going to do it now. How many times has God intervened in your life? How many times have you seen situations where it should have gone all totally crazy, but God came through? Do you mean to tell me that God is so fickle that he changed between yesterday and today? Do you mean to tell me that God is so wishy-washy that he'll be there one day and not be the next? It's not his character. It's a matter of saying, God, even when my feelings don't cooperate, I'll keep doing what I should do. Because by faith, I know you're right here with me. By faith, I know you're with me. I may not feel it. I may not see it. I may feel like I'm the only one slogging along. But God, I know you're there. But it's in your heart that you know God is there. You got to start there. I told you before, my theology professor, Dr. Ronald Wright, amazing guy. Loved him. Scared to death of him, but I loved him. So the very first day of Intro to Theo, a lousy two-unit class, Dr. Wright says, how do you know there's a God? And he just puts his hands and he looks like this. Okay, so all the Sunday school kids, you know, it's Christian college, all the pastor's kids and kids who grew up in church, one of them stands up and says, I know there's a God because God speaks to me. Dr. Wright says, well, how do I know that's not just the ramblings of an insane mind? Okay, now people are starting to get nervous. Another kid says, well, I know there's God because the Bible tells me so. And Dr. Wright says, oh, I don't believe in the Bible. Excuse me? You're teaching at Christian college, you don't believe in the Bible? He did. He just liked to make people crazy. Chris Chavez, bless his heart. He's a missionary. Honest to goodness, a missionary to Africa now. Chris Chavez gets up and he says, I know there's a God. And he had this evangelistic feel, you know. I know there's a God because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. And he sits down like, that's right. And Dr. Wright did for the first time that semester something we would see him do on a regular basis. He would chew on the inside of his lip. When he made that face, somebody was about to die. And he looks at Chris and he says, I don't mean to be untoward, brother, but you might as well have said by the sands of Costa Mesa. And Chris went, and then he blew our mind for the first of many, many times. He said, it all begins with a beginning assumption, the a priori assumption that there's a God. I can't convince you there's a God. You can't convince me there isn't one. So before we're going to talk about the existence of God, we've got to agree with that a priori, that beginning assumption that there is a God. You get to this dry spot in your soul, you start with that a priori assumption, that beginning assumption, there is a God and he loves me. And then you hitch up your britches, you tie your shoes, and you do what you know you should do. Whether you feel like it or not, whether it feels rewarding or not, do it. And watch how God blesses you. Second thing, cling to truth. Psalm 13, 5 and 6. but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Now, we just read four verses talking about how horrible his life was and how lonely he felt and how he felt like everybody's, you know, he has to go to the park and eat worms. You know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, you think I'll go eat worms? There's a song to that. You know, I mean, he's just having a bad day. So what changed between verse 4 and verse 5? His attitude. His faith. But I trust in your unfailing love. My life is going down the tubes. My life is swirling in the porcelain altar. But I trust in your unfailing love. But I trust. God, I may not see any evidence of it right now. I may not see anything going on, but God, I'm hanging tough. Why? Because I know you. I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. Has he been rescued yet? It's not like he came back and wrote the last part of this. No. He's still going through it. And I will rejoice because you have rescued me. Why? Because I know you will. When God seems far away, cling to what you know is true. Remember what God has done for you. Stop and take stock. Get out a piece of paper and a pencil. What are the things that God has done for you? Be honest. Be complete. What has God done for you? Write it down. Lord, you've made a difference in my life. Given me joy, provided for me. You've forgiven my sins. You've given me eternal life. You've answered my prayers. As you remember what God has done for you, you'll find yourself strengthened in him. Do you ever have your parents, you ever have your kid tell you, well, you never do anything for me. Really? Did you eat dinner last night? Yeah. Did you have to pay for it? No. Do you have a bed to sleep in tonight? Yeah. Did you pay for it? No. It's a pretty good teenager sound, isn't it? I had two of them. My wife said, you never take me anywhere. Took you to the hardware store last week. We were joking. Valentine's Day was last week. Last week, right? Last week? Valentine's Day was last week, and we had been in El Cajon all day and doing a bunch of stuff, so we just drove through and got something to eat and took it home, and I said, you know what, honey? It's Valentine's Day, and because I love you, you can get the big fries if you want. She said, oh, you sweet talker, you. Yeah, I know how to treat a woman. Look, we're not talking about pretending. You don't have to pretend feeling something you don't feel. God knows your feelings. You think you're fooling God? You think when you walk in the door and somebody says, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. I'm hallelujah. You think God doesn't look and say, you're a liar. Shame on you. God knows your feelings. At one point, David tells God, hey, turn around and answer me. You ever get kind of ticked off in your prayer? You know, as you read the Psalms, there are Psalms called imprecatory Psalms. I kind of like the imprecatory Psalms, where David just has had enough, and he's calling down fire out of heaven on his enemies. I like those Psalms. They just feel good. I expect him to bless you. Look what David said in Psalm 22:15. My strength is dried up like sun-baked clay. I figured being in Imperial Valley, we would understand that phrase right there. Or I would just say, my strength is dried up like my front yard. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. Look, if you're mad, if you're hurt, tell God. He's got broad shoulders. He loves you. But let God's truth transform your feelings. Let what God is doing transform those things in you. See, something remarkable happens to David's feelings as he cries out to God in Psalm 22 as well. The truth transforms his feelings. He goes from lamenting God's absence to proclaiming God's presence, from doubt and despair to surety and praise. Look at 22, verse 22. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. As we remember God's truth, our feelings are transformed. We've got to go to God's word. It's okay to have feelings. We all feel bummed sometimes. We all feel abandoned sometimes. The difference is, don't think your feelings are real. Feelings aren't real. Feelings are the caboose. Let your faith be the engine that drives you. If you give in to your feelings all the time, you will never grow in Christ, because you'll constantly be riding that roller coaster. I feel good, I feel bad. I feel good, I feel bad. Instead of just letting your faith just carry you through. I may not understand God. I may not be happy about it. But I know that you're there. You can say like David, God heard me when I cried out to him. There are cycles in the Christian life. Times when you feel close to God. Times when you feel like he's far, far away. It's inevitable. Every Christian goes through it. I told you a couple of weeks ago that when everybody wants to live on the mountaintop, everyone wants to live where it's happy, and so many good things, hallelujah. But if you climb mountains, you get to a place where things don't grow anymore. It's called the timberline. And the only thing that grows there are like little tiny shrubs. There's no trees, there's no beautiful foliage or anything. And if you lived on the mountaintop all the time, you would never grow. You'd have faith, but it would be an inch thick. You come down off the top of the mountain, you go down the hill, and the foliage starts getting beautiful. All the tropical plants and all the beauty and all those things. But you know what? That's where growth happens, in the valleys. You're going to go through valleys in your Christian walk, but that's where you're growing. I praise God for the valleys in my life. Not necessarily while I'm in them. I've never woke up and said, Lord, I'm in a valley. Thank you for this, God. I'm so happy that things are not going well. That's stupid. But I know that just as surely as I'm in that valley, somewhere that valley ends, and I head back up the mountain. Valleys don't last forever unless you forget your faith in God. Valleys don't last forever unless you never grow your way out of them. So when next time you're going through a tough time, instead of saying, God, why do I have to do this? Why me? How about saying, okay, God, what do I have to learn? What are you teaching me here? Because I know there's a mountaintop coming, and I want to get there as soon as I can. So the sooner I learn my lesson, the quicker I get out of this valley. I'd love to tell you that my valleys in life only last a day or two because I'm so spiritual that I work my way through them. No. I have to learn the hard way sometimes. And that's okay, because God loves me. Again, Psalm 13, 5 and 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you've rescued me. I will sing to the Lord, because he is good to me. If you're hurting today, if you're going through the valley, verses 5 and 6 are for you. But I trust in your unfailing love. I know God has rescued me. Have you been rescued yet? No. That's faith. That's where faith comes in. God, you've never let me down. You're not going to start now. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. I may not see evidence of it right now, but I know he was good to me yesterday. I know he was good to me a year ago. And I know God's not going to leave me hanging. You don't have to feel like a loser when you go through the tough times. You just don't. It's part of the growth. It's part of the journey. Learn what God is teaching you and move to the next victory. Amen? Let's pray. God, thanks. And God, it is inevitable that we will go through some tough times. But you love us and you care about us. And you want to do good things in us, God. And I firmly believe you let us go through those tough times so that we can grow, so we can get stronger. Father, I know in this room right now there are people going through tough times. They're hurting. They came in here today, God, and they just weren't sure how to close the distance between you and them. Father, here it is. We put our faith in you, even though we can't see the answer to the prayer yet. Because, God, you've never let us down before, and you're not going to start now. Thanks, Father. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if that's you this morning and you're having a tough time, there is nothing wrong with that. But you've got to get to the part that says, but I trust in your unfailing love. Maybe you're here this morning and this is all new to you. This whole faith in Jesus thing is all new. You're here at a good time. And your prayer this morning is, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I've gone through this whole time without you, and I recognize my need, that I need God. If that's you this morning, just cry out to God. God, save me. God, be in my heart. Be in my life. I need you, God. And you'll find out that God just comes in like a flood. But if you're here this morning and you're going through a tough time, now's your time for victory. Now's your time to say, but I trust in God's unfailing love. He has rescued me. Looking for the day when he does. Putting your faith and your trust in him. Because he's never, ever going to leave you hanging. If that's you, just go to him right now and say, okay, God, me and you. I got nowhere else to go. I put my trust in you today, God. Father, do something incredible. I pray for the hearts and lives of the people that are here this morning, God, that their lives would be transformed, that you would do something amazing in them, Father. Thanks. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Stand with me if you would. As we sing this last song, let it be a song of praise from your heart. Let it be a song of victory, even in your lowest point. Let it be a song that you sing to God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, knowing that he's not going to leave you. That despite your feelings, God is in control. I love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You've been